Coming up today on the show, we are going to talk about the plethora of news that came out of D23. Just kidding. Wasn't much, but we're going to talk about that today on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, one and all, to episode number 508 of Traveling with the Mouse. My name is Adam, and I am joined by
John.
You're traveling back into the past there. You wanted to go back 100 episodes.
Yeah.
For some reason. What was episode number 408?
Well, now I have to look it up.
This is Traveling in the Past with the Mouse. Traveling with the Past Mouse. Mouse Past. Anyway.
We're going back to the past. Oh. That episode was...
You found that pretty fast.
Yeah, I did. Our website has a search feature. It was June 26, 2023, and it was Disney News and a Trip Report teaser.
Oh,
it says, welcome back. This episode, John and I catch up on the latest news and rumors. We can't help but chat about our latest Disney World trips. We will go more in depth on next week's episode, but we cover some of the details of our recent vacations. In the news, we have a new price structure for Disney Genie Plus that goes into effect June 27th.
Genie Plus.
The Reflections Resort may not be dead in the water after all.
That was part of the headline, I guess, the description.
Yeah. Get this one. This is in the headlines this week. The dinosaur attraction Animal Kingdom has seen better days. It's almost like they're ready to pull the plug on it.
Almost. Interesting.
And then I talk about an Indiana Jones meet and greet coming to Disneyland. Interesting.
Did that ever happen?
I mean, it may.
I don't recall.
Well, yeah. This was 2023, so.
Yeah. That's something I'm not even sure if it ever really came to fruition.
Wow.
Funny you should mention that. I mean, you said Genie Plus. It made me think about how earlier today I was just kind of considering what all that much has really changed since JPEG has been replaced with Iger. And I can't think of anything.
Thanks for the free parking.
And once again, I was going to say they kind of stayed a similar course. I feel like there was a short time period when their hotel inventory went back to what it used to be, but I think that's already changed. I think they purposely like steer you in a direction of ones that they want you to go to, like the ones that need to be filled up. Let's put it that way. Right. The ones that have more capacity available, they kind of steer you in that direction. Much like Genie Plus would steer you in the direction of an attraction that needed people in it.
Yeah, that seems like it was designed that way. The whole Genie thing in general was like, hey, the Swiss Family Treehouse is available.
Right.
Why don't you go do that next?
Right. So it had nothing to do with granting wishes at all, which is kind of funny when it had the name Genie.
Right.
It's like if your wish is to go, it's like if your wish is to be guided in the direction of something you could have done without a lamp, without rubbing a lamp, then sure.
Yeah, I wonder. I would be curious to poll people who don't go to Disney very often. Do you actually use the Genie to plan your day at all, or do you just like do whatever? Because
I think at this point the actual Genie part is like a waste. Is it even utilized? Is it even an option? I don't even know. I don't think I've ever used it.
Well, I mean, we don't need it, but yes.
Because I didn't think it was
so rare.
It's part of it. Oh, okay. Because they changed the name, remember? And like, it's like, it makes me wonder if anybody even knows what they can use it for, you know?
You can still summon the Genie. So here's what I use it for, is for the Lightning Lane drops in particular. Because if you do the plan your day and you tell it like, oh, I want to do Test Track, for example, it'll put Test Track at the top of the list. And then when you're trying to get like a Lightning Lane drop, it'll on that app anyway, it will it'll show at the top, or so you can. It basically pins the attractions you want at the top if you tell it that through the genie thing. So that's the only thing I've used it for, is so that I don't have to scroll down to find something at a lightning drop or whatever.
Oh.
Yeah.
I feel like I used to use it for something like that, but now I had forgotten that that was an option. But then again, I mean, we use another option normally.
But I will say, especially Ratatouille, for whatever reason, Ratatouille doesn't like to book unless I'm using my Disney experience. That's just my...
That's just your Disney experience.
Right.
That's just in my Disney experience.
Exactly. So for whatever reason, I have to use the My Disney Experience app for the... Anyway.
I tried to summon a genie, and it says that I was not quite ready to craft my day. Because...
Right.
Because I'll need to link or add valid admission first.
Yes, and for me, I have to have a reservation for it to work. Park reservation.
So stupid. Anyway.
But that is a tip for those if you're... Even if you don't know the lightning lane drops, if you're trying to get a lightning lane for a specific ride, you can use that to essentially pin the attraction you want at the top of the list of your tip board or whatever they call it.
Yeah, they still call it a tip board.
Right. So there you go. Well, we were talking about episode 408. It was kind of funny that we talked about Dinosaur. And that was 2 years ago. We were talking about, it looks like Disney's kind of is ready to pull the plug on it, blah, blah, blah. Well, officially, they announced the date that they are going to pull the plug on Dinosaur. And it's later than I expected. There's a reason why. But anyway, the date is February 2nd, 2026.
Did we ever get an official date on Rockin'?
Not yet. I'm surprised they
haven't. That's just what I'm saying. But yet they have one that's official on Dinosaur that's way later than originally thought. Because we would think it was just going to go throughout the end of the year. And then I would think it would have been just past the holiday crowns, right? So maybe January the 6th or something like that.
Right.
Whatever day. Whatever day starts the week after the Christmas ones. That's usually what I don't even know what day that would be.
Right.
But
that's what I would have thought too. I was thinking maybe mid-January at the latest for Rock and Roll Coaster, but they haven't said yet. But the reason why they were doing this in February is, yet again, they need rides open, because Kali typically goes down early in the year for its annual kind of refurbishment, like water ride refurbishment. And instead, Kali is going to go down in October for its refurb.
October. Makes no sense.
Yeah. Doesn't say when it's going to reopen yet, but obviously it will be before Dinosaur goes down. So they're doing that because, you know, Dinosaur being down is going to cut Animal Kingdom's total ride count down to what, like 5, 6? What is it? Like 6 rides. Let's see. Everest, Kali, Safari, Flight of Passage, and Navi River.
Yeah, it's not going to be.
So that's it.
If you thought it was a half park before, half day park before, it's really a half day park now.
Exactly. For now, anyway. But if Kali had done its regular refurb schedule, then Dinosaur and Kali would be down at the same. So that would take it down even more. So,
which means there's no hope for the Yeti.
Yeah, I doubt it. Yeah, Everest has got to stay up until Encanto.
We could just replace him with AI Yeti. There's plenty of those out there.
Yeah,
we just replace the Yeti on Everest.
Just replace it with a projection of.
Right, you could just use any one of the Yeti things.
That's what you need.
Probably be inappropriate for Disney, but. Because whatever it is he would say, he would laugh afterwards. He'd be like,
exactly.
Anyway.
AI, yeah.
I'm sorry.
But that would be rewritability. You could change with AI, you could change what it says or does every week.
This is true.
It'd be something different.
Rewritability. You never know what you're going to get.
It's going to become a box of chocolates? Okay.
So, yeah, if you want to do dinosaur, you got to hurry up and do it before
February. In the next 6 months.
Yeah. You only have 6 months to do it.
Yeah. What else was going down? There was something else going down. Well, we know Rocket has, but there was something else.
Other than regular refurbs and stuff? There's one that will go down for an update, but we don't know the timing yet. So I might as well get to that story. Out of Destination D23, there was a few things that were announced, not a lot. And we kind of knew it would be light this year because I think Disney's trying to tone down the expectations of every year around this time. They're going to have tons of major announcements. I think they're trying to just keep that one to the main D23 every other year. We got a few things, though. And I think the biggest surprise out of them all was Carousel of Progress is going to get an update. The major part of it is actually a new scene added at the beginning. And we're going to get our own Walt animatronic. I was kind of excited about it. I think it's cool, but what are your thoughts?
It's not that surprising in the sense that they were going to bring it to Walt Disney World in some capacity, and I think this is the perfect fit, perfect way. Why not use the Walt attraction, you know?
Right.
So
it's a perfect way to incorporate it. And he's going to be in his blue sweater, which if you've seen that special, was it the World's Fair special one? He's wearing the blue sweater when he's talking about Carousel of Progress, when he's actually on the stage and talking to the dad and whatever. He's wearing the blue sweater, so it's pretty cool. They did hint, though, at in addition to Walt, sounded like the final scene is probably going to get an update, too. There are still plenty of additional details to be revealed, including what John, Sarah, and the rest of the family are up to. Disney Imagineers love this attraction, and the heart of it will stay the same while introducing the Carousel of Progress to an entirely new generation of fans, showing them that a great, big, beautiful tomorrow is just a dream away. So, does this mean what I kind of hope it means, which is they're throwing the Walt in here so that people will be excited about them changing all the other scenes? Do you think they're going to do that?
All the other scenes?
I don't know. I mean, listen to the way this is worded.
I find it hard to believe, actually, but say it again.
Well, here's the wording from Disney. It says there's still plenty of additional details to be revealed, including what John, Sarah, and the rest of the family are up to. Disney Imagineers love this attraction, and the heart of it will stay the same while introducing the Carousel of Progress to an entirely new generation of fans, showing them what a great, big, beautiful tomorrow is just a dream away.
I just think they're going to update the ending as I just kind of like it says to be more modern, more like, in other words, some of the things that they have currently exist. So it's not futuristic and they're going to make it more futuristic. Yeah. Just the ending scene, though, I bet.
I wish. Here's what I wish they would do, actually. It'd be cool if they reverted the old original scene, like the back to the kind of original, and started with that one from like the 60s, and then do like the 80s, and then do like the 2000s, and then like the future.
Well, I don't think the whole objective, though, is to just go through the decades, right? It's to show actual progress. What you do is over a grander time period of time, you actually cut out some of the stuff that was progress at the time, but there's stuff you can show greater leaps, in other words. Like you still start at the beginning, but you skip some of the ones you used to use. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, well, you show greater leaps and bounds in the progress because you don't have to, you have a longer time frame to cover.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
But in that regard, you could do the original opening, which is the turn of the century, 1900, and then you could skip to the 40s. Right. Instead of the 20s, you can do the 40s one where he's sitting at the table talking about the rat race. You ever heard of that?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's something like that. Yes. So,
and
so
then you skip to the 80s, which would be like super nostalgic for folks like us.
Think of it along the lines of, say, history in school, right? There are certain things that are in the really long time ago that it's very necessary to cover, right? But as time goes on, there are probably some things you used to cover that you have to kind of not so much cover in order to cover more recent events. So, like, sure. For instance, obviously when I was in school, they couldn't talk about something like, say, 9/11 because, well, it hadn't happened yet. So, obviously it's covered now. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm just saying things like that. They still have the same time to teach this stuff in. Right. So you can't possibly be teaching exactly the same way you did. You know what I mean? So,
I guess since Universal has, you know, the Nintendo Land, they can't have a scene in there that's like from the 80s where it's like, there's a thing called a Nintendo Entertainment System. Like playing an arcade game in your house, it'll never work. No one will ever do that.
Well, I mean, covering like I think the whole thing, Carousel of Progress, so it had to do with how America particularly has progressed, right?
Yeah.
And it focused on the things that we used, not how it progressed in any other way, right? Yeah. So it focused on, well, technology, like as Prazer said, television. I mean, heck, you could cover eras that were like, go. Let's just think music, for instance. We went to records, to tapes, to... I mean, wait a minute. We went from records to 8-tracks to tapes to CDs to digital, right. Pretty much. There is no tangible. And somewhere in between, actually, we kind of still have records, right? Because that's...
Yeah.
Vinyl is actually still a thing.
Yeah. Vinyl's made a comeback.
Is there actually more of a... I guess it's kind of a nostalgic thing. Right. Because out of all those things that we used to play music... Vinyl sounded the best, I guess, and was the most novel, maybe. There's nothing really that novel about a tape. I'm sorry. It's just not.
Yeah. Be kind and rewind.
That would wear out.
Yeah. Very easier. Like, it just would wear out very easily. Yeah.
I feel like aside from the scratching, and you can actually fix that in some cases, they wear out faster than records to ever thought about wearing out.
Yeah. So, for sure. But nostalgia is like a big thing online right now. Like people love watching stuff. I do, especially of the 90s and whatnot. So I think Disney could really capitalize on that by...
Good.
The wording makes it seem like they're at least going to have a couple of scenes changed because of the wording makes it sound like, you know, we're trying to introduce this. Again, saying the heart of it will stay the same.
But Didn't VH1 tap into this a long time ago with I Love the 80s and I Love the 90s?
Right. It was a long time ago. I Love the 80s Strikes Back. And yeah.
I mean, totally did. That was like, that's funny. That was long like Hal Sparks' greatest work.
Right. Indeed. Yeah. Honestly.
Nothing else he's ever remembered for.
Right. He was, and Michael Ian Black, yeah, he was great in that.
Oh, yeah. He was.
He was one of the best ones, too. Man, why haven't they done a I Love the 2010s? They haven't, doesn't have the same
haven't brought that
it.
Back? No, like, because they don't have the personalities to cover it, for one thing, and it'd be entertaining. That's the problem.
Yeah, I guess so. But anyway, there's a thing called WrestleMania. You guys heard about this?
WrestleMania. I don't know. They could have already covered that.
Right.
I mean, they're only on, what are they on now? 40 something. It hadn't been 50 years yet.
Right.
I don't think. Has it?
Right. Sarah's going to this thing called a monster truck rally to see the Grave Digger and Bigfoot. Sounds kind of weird to me, but
I don't know. I think Grave Digger still actually runs. Because I don't know. I think it's an updated version, but I think it still is actually a monster truck. I don't think Bigfoot exists anymore.
Yeah. What's that cassette you're playing over there? Oh, it's the California Raisins.
Ah, California Raisins.
Singing Fruit? You ever heard of that?
Veggie, fruit. Yeah, he could do. Right. They could do Disney nostalgia strictly.
They totally could. Yeah. So I haven't heard much about a follow-up on this, but did you hear about this? The other day, there was a power surge that closed like almost every attraction at Walt Disney World.
I heard something about that.
During bad weather.
Every attraction.
It said 40 attractions, not all of them. It says
40 across all the parks.
It said the only attraction that was running at Animal Kingdom was Kilimanjaro Safari at the time of whatever happened.
The one that required the least amount of technology. Right. I mean, it's a gassed truck and real animals.
Right.
So it literally was unaffected by a power surge.
Right. Exactly. And it said Hollywood Studios, every ride was down at one point, but then Tower of Terror was the first to reopen. And then it said Epcot, the only thing at one point that was operating was the Grand Fiesta Tour.
So, wow. That's interesting.
Magic Kingdom, I'm not sure. It didn't say specifically on that one.
Let's see, Grand Fiesta Tour. I'm trying to think, why would it be the only one running?
I guess because it's
probably maybe doesn't Mexico. Require that. Yeah, but it also probably doesn't require that much power.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, think about it. Maybe. It doesn't require as much power as some of the other ones.
Right.
And then Tower of Terror coming back up. I mean, of course, it makes perfect sense. It gets struck by lightning. So,
right.
Every like, it's like every 15 minutes it gets struck by lightning.
Yeah, it gets struck a lot. Yeah. So it knows it's designed for that. So, yeah, I don't know exactly what happened or what the follow-up was to that, but I guess I'm not sure how long it was that way either. But let's see. What else did we get out of Destination D23? The only thing that I saw mentioned about Villain's Land was that it's on the horizon. That was the only thing we got.
Oh, they mentioned Horizon. Oh. So it's on an old ride.
Yeah. So there was a villains themed panel discussion or whatever at Destination D23. And really all they said was, yeah, that's it. Construction is on the horizon.
Does it feel like D23? I mean, we knew they did the after COVID, they did the every year one for a purpose, but didn't it feel just like a cash grab at this point? I mean, let's be honest.
D23? Yeah.
Yes.
I guess, yeah.
I mean, you're getting people to pay money to go there, and they're. I mean, there's some things they throw them a bone, the people that actually go. But I mean, they're not going there to get any real new info. I mean, they can't possibly have anything that you want to salivate over every year. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. As far as news goes, sure. Yeah. I think.
Yeah.
Like any other expo, the people want to see some. I guess Disney's type celebrities there, and then the merch and stuff like that. People like to get in trading different Disney.
What Disney celebrities were there?
Jodie Benson.
Okay.
Jodie Benson. The guy who, I forgot his name. The guy who voices Goofy. I forgot his name.
How long has he been voicing Goofy?
A long term.
Probably since the 90s.
Yeah.
Maybe since, even the 80s.
Since probably before Bill Farmer, that's who it was. I don't know why I forgot his name. Let's see, how long has he been? He's 72 years old now. How long has he been voicing Goofy?
His name literally sounds like a character from a children's book. Bill the Farmer. Bill Farmer.
Bill Farmer. Since 1987, he's been voicing Goofy.
Okay. I figured it was somebody that had been doing it for a minute.
Yeah. So he was at La Cava recently too, because he posted some pictures of from La Cava
with Barbas. Oh,
no, I didn't see Barbas in the pictures, but of course, yeah, maybe he was there at the same time. But yeah,
you ever wonder, does NPH know who Barbas is?
Yeah, he's met him on multiple occasions.
He's met him on multiple occasions, but does he know who he is?
He might.
He might.
Does Barbas know who he is? Yes.
Of course. Yeah. Well, they'd be like saying, I met him. And like, you remember me?
I don't remember any other celebrities, though. I'm sure there were more. But that's part of it, is people love to meet them and see stuff like that, you know. The only other big story that came out of this was the announcement about Cinderella Castle. They're going to return it back to its original color scheme of the gray and blue instead of pink and blue, or rose, gold, pink, whatever they called it.
Yeah, so, and it still had some of the old white in it anyway.
The old white in it?
Well, grayish. It's kind of like an off-white color.
Oh, right, yeah. I know what you mean. Grayish or off-white. And gold, of course. One thing I didn't like about before they painted it pink was the blue looked really faded, almost like it was sun faded to me back in the day. Like I do like the brighter blue that they have today, but the pink, yeah, it'd be nice to go back to the grayish white, off-white color. I think it would look better.
I kind of like the, and that's probably because that's the earliest one I remember, the older style, the 80s looking one.
Yeah.
Color, castle color.
Remember that time when it was a birthday cake?
Oh, God. I knew you were going to go there. I started to say, not the 96, 97 painting. Yeah. Or at least the front side. That was such a facade.
Well, the concept art that they shared has a little bit brighter blue than what it used to be, like, most recently before they changed it. So
I think back in the day, some of that was just sun bleached and, you know.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
Which happens.
Right. It gets a ton of sun on it, obviously. So, yeah. So they didn't really say when, but again, the only thing that's going to stink about that is the cranes and scaffolding up above the castle. So that sounds like an early next year thing that they'd probably do that. Again, 2026.
Supposedly.
Oh. Yeah.
Some people might get that joke reference. Speaking of the 90s.
Right. This is a very minor story, but more repaving is underway. And so I was there when they repaved the parking lot at Pop Century recently. Now the Epcot parking lot is getting repaved. So, all these little maintenance things are happening where, looks like things that needed to happen are happening. It says Tron is going to get new music from the new film coming out this year, which
yes, and supposedly cool. A red tint as well.
Yeah. So that's coming September 15th. So
it's going to turn to the dark side from the looks of it.
Yeah. Right. So Nine Inch Nails has the.
Yeah, it's interesting. They do apparently the music to
that's
it.
That's kind of interesting. That'll be interesting.
Yeah. And I thought it was October. What day did you say it was? October the 15th?
It says September 15th.
Oh, excuse me. September 15th. I'm sorry. Well, the movie, I guess I was thinking of the movie release date. I think the movie release date is October 11th. So,
October 10th, it says. So
10th. Okay. I was close.
Close enough.
Yeah, because 10th's a Friday. Friday makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. So a month in advance, they're going to be doing this.
So it's been, like 15 years since they made that?
Yeah.
Second, that sequel to Tron. So the
Legacy. Was 2010.
Yeah, when they made Tron. 2010, yeah. So, yeah, 15 years. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
I know it was about that time frame. Yeah. It was funny. I remember when we first went on it. When was that? When did it open? 23 or 22?
Oh, Tron?
Yeah.
23, right?
I think that's right. That might have been the last time we were there or did we go last year in the summer? Anyway, it was one of those times.
23. Oh, April 4th.
April 4th of 23? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think at that time, our friend who was with us had said, he was talking to my wife and said, it was, you know, this is themed after the new movie. And I was like, the new movie? I was like, it was
right.
It's like over a decade ago. It's like, it's right. Like, it's been that long. It's like, yes, it has. It's been that long since it was this new movie, this new version. Yeah. And the music's from Legacy. The music that they use is from Legacy.
Right. Yeah. The which is a little repetitive, but it is pretty cool to hear. But
oh yeah, that's neat.
It's definitely a little repetitive, though.
It's just weird that it's taken this long to get this incorporated here, though, right? So, like, the movie was in 2010. Shanghai opened in, what, 2015, was it?
It's 16.
Okay, so 6 years after that, you know, they have an attraction.
Yeah.
Right, so. Although, it takes a little bit of time. I mean, Frozen was, what, 2012, and then they had an attraction by 2016 as well, so about 4 years. You would think Disney would find a way to strike faster on some of these things, but it just doesn't seem to work out. Maybe it's just because I've never been in this world, right? In the positions that they're in. But I wouldn't think it would be that difficult that when you have a film coming out and you anticipate something, to at least have like a base plan to potentially play something. And then if it doesn't work out, then you just scrap it. I mean, what's the harm in that? What's the big deal in that? You know?
Yeah. I guess you could always.
I mean, you already know what the film's about before you even release it, I would hope, since you made it. Right. So you have an idea of what you can do for an attraction. Can't you just at least have that plan like
ahead of time?
Like a brainstorm, right? Like at least a brainstorm, if nothing else, have that in place. That way, in case if the movie takes off, you can act quicker on it.
Have it in the back burner.
Right.
Or, I mean, to go really nostalgic, like GoldenEye, the James Bond film, the video game was like 2 years later, like right before Tomorrow Never Died, the GoldenEye.
No, it wasn't as old as you think. If you GoldenEye was 1995. If you look at the actual copyright on the game, it's 96.
But the release date was 97, I'm pretty sure. You can look it up.
Yeah, it was August 23rd. Put it in the Google machine.
I did. August 25th, 1997.
And the movie was released in what part of 95? Summer of 95.
Usually the end. It's probably November 13th, 1995.
So it wasn't even 2 years before a game was released.
So it was.
So Rareware has Disney beat on these things. Not only that, they managed to obtain the licensing and create a game in that time period.
Well, it was heavily delayed.
Yeah. And the other thing about that, though, is it's not like we're talking about, like, GoldenEye didn't just, like, break any box office records or anything. You know, someone just thought it'd be a cool idea to put a Bond and they could sell it. And then it turned into be a much bigger thing. Right. So because of it was more because of its playability than the fact that it was GoldenEye. Let's be honest. Yeah.
I was just trying to do a nostalgic reference since we...
Yeah, I get what you're saying, yeah. But still, again, it was about they made a good game, not the... You could have literally taken any subject and made that game with it, and it would have been popular.
Perhaps, but I think James Bond, it definitely put that on the
map. Well, it's easy to say now because it happened that way, but I'm just saying it was more the concepts, the gameplay is what made it fun, right? Because we've seen plenty of popular movies turned into games that were crap. Over that same time period.
So it was 651 days from November 13th, 95 to August 25th, 97.
But again, they weren't thinking we're going to make it this game after as soon as the movie was released.
No.
I don't know where the concept developed, but.
But if you look at like documentaries of when that game was being produced, they had some like. They had access to, they even took pictures of some of the filming locations. So they were involved while the movie was still being filmed. So,
and look, I'm not trying to compare the two because I'm sure it's probably easier to write game software than it is to construct and do everything that goes into making a full-on attraction at a theme park.
Right.
Two different things.
Sure. I was just trying to throw in a reference.
But my point being in that is if we look at it from the time and something is announced to the time it's actually finished in a normal time frame, not from, let's think pre-COVID and probably more so now, how long it takes to do that, way shorter time period than 4 and 5 years.
Right.
That's all I'm saying. They, If they had a concept in mind, just a base concept in mind, see that something is going to be successful, they could start it almost immediately. I mean, why not operate that way? I don't get that. If they're, especially if they're so IP heavy.
Right.
I mean, why not operate that way?
I mean, unless it's just wasting time to start working on concepts for things that would never pan out. Like if they did an Elio ride concept, like that was a waste of time.
Well, again, if they just had something, an idea, just an idea in place. I mean, I wouldn't think that would take that much. I'm talking brainstorming stuff. I'm not talking like we have, you know what I mean? We have a storyboard. I'm just talking about a general concept that they could use.
Yeah. Like then, this movie's about whatever, it'd make a good roller coaster. Or this movie could be a good dark ride. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like it took this long to do the Monsters, Inc. I mean, seriously. People have been talking about this for years.
Yeah, that's a good point. And the fact that they got Billy Crystal out last year to talk about it, and that movie wasn't that movie 2010 too? Monsters University?
Now I gotta look that. Didn't they have like a short series or something though recently?
Maybe. But is Billy Crystal involved in that?
I mean, Billy Crystal's, how old is he now?
2013 was Monsters University.
Okay. So. Like, and that was, it was okay.
Yeah.
That was Billy nowhere Crystal, near
77 years old.
Oh, he's a little younger than I thought, actually. I was expecting him to be closer to 87.
Yeah. John Goodman is 73.
Okay, so we're talking about people who voice these characters in their 70s. I guess 70 is the new 60, right? So then what everybody says, I would take a decade off for everything.
Yeah. So we talked about that for a long time. There's another story I wanted to mention that is a bit of a bummer, because when Disney talked about, this was last week, they talked about Big Thunder. They released a new concept art of the lift hill, the first lift hill, the caverns are going to be lit up and everything. In the new ride description, they say, and I think we talked about this last week because I remember saying this, that they said when you enter the cavern, engine speeds up along rickety track, which I was calling out the rickety track thing being kind of weird because it's probably going to be the smoothest coaster that Disney has when it reopens. But then it says dodging exploding dynamite and falling boulders as you swoop around turns, drop into canyons, dart through the town of Tumbleweed. They took that whole part out about exploding dynamite and falling boulders.
Oh.
I remember saying, oh, that sounds like they're going to add the dynamite scene to the final lift hill, which would make sense. But
then again, they're probably taking this opportunity to try to distinguish some separation between the two coasts. Because right now there's some differences, but it's not huge differences.
But I mean, I think Tokyo's has the same dynamite scene. So why
can't... Because Tokyo does what they always do. They take what they deem to be the best of the two U.S. part. And they're usually right.
Yeah, they usually pick the right one.
They're usually the ones that I agree with. Let's put it that way.
Interestingly enough, though, Disneyland's Big Thunder is also closed for an extensive refurbishment, it says. But and didn't give a reopening date. So are they going to replace the track now? And I feel like they've replaced the track once already on the Disneyland one. I could be wrong, but are they going to do the same kind of thing?
Interesting.
Well, it says extensive refurbishment. According to this response I'm just looking at, it does say replacing the entire coaster track and adding new elements, but that could, it's an AI response, so it could be mixing it up with the Disney World one. So
I think it is. That happens quite frequently.
But as of today, it is down at Disneyland for a refurb too. So there's no Big Thunder Mountain attraction in the United States operating right now at all. It's kind of sad, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, like I say, it won't be too long.
You have to go to Paris or Tokyo to ride Big Thunder if you want to ride it in the next, I don't know, 6 months maybe. We'll see. Yeah,
I think it can last 6 months.
Well, for the rest of this year, if you want to ride Big Thunder, you have to go abroad.
Most likely.
Anyway, sad that, you know, we're going to get a lit up cavern, but we may not get dynamite here in the U.S., in the Florida. But...
that sounds weird, but okay.
Yes.
We're going to get a lit cavern, but no dynamite. Okay.
I thought this was a weird story, too, that Disneyland Paris's Ratatouille, which was the original, is actually going to be adding that scene from the queue that was new to Epcot's, which is just that one little room that is like an art studio type room or whatever.
That's it?
Yeah.
Huh.
So it's going down for a refurb there, but it says when it opens in 2026, guests will discover an enhanced queue with a new scene depicting the Parisian's art studio, teeming with details and accessories such as canvases on the walls, blah, 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 all this stuff, you know.
I'm trying to think. I've never really looked at the queue for the one in Paris. Do you know anything about the queue in the one in Paris? You've actually been on it, right? So
yeah, we went through the standby queue as well, and it's very similar to the
already
Epcot one, but I don't really remember anything.
Like sometimes you can find queues or see queues that seem to stand out as obviously the best ones, right?
Yeah.
Like we've always said, that dream scenario for Pirates, right? If Pirates had the Disneyland ride, but the
Disney World queue,
right? Yeah. It right. would be, that's like the ultimate version. So,
yeah. And I think the Paris Pirates kind of has a bit of that. It's a little bit of a combination of the two. It's definitely.
Surprised Tokyo hard. Doesn't do that.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, why don't they do that? But. That's what needs to go down at Magic Kingdom is Pirates to do a refurb on it. But
what would you do though?
I mean, it would be hard to make
you're
it
limited with space. Yeah.
Yeah. You'd have to like add another show building and like divert it to, you know, to make it longer.
Yeah. So, I don't see that happening anytime soon.
No, I don't think that would ever happen really. We're stuck with what we got. But. Let's see. I'm just kind of going through a few others. More dates for Halloween party sell out, which I think proves that they're just keeping the crowds lower and raising the price. I think that's what they decided to do there. So,
quite possibly.
This new snack stand at Toy Story Land is kind of the construction walls got bigger over the last week. This mystery construction between Toy Story Land and Galaxy's Edge 2 is continuing.
Maybe they're going to make the transition better somehow.
Hopefully. But the new scenery that you can see behind the construction walls is this Jesse O's like cereal. So they're going to be like a cereal stand. Wouldn't that be funny if you could go buy cereal here and go to the milk stand at Galaxy's Edge?
Slime
to milk and cereal.
So you get the blue milk. Yeah. I don't know if I would want to eat cereal that had the blue or the green milk in it, to be honest.
Yeah. Maybe that's their way of getting more people to go to the milk stand, though. They'll actually sell actual milk, but it's just dyed blue or green. And then you get your Jesse O's cereal, and then you walk over to the milk stand.
It's probably been 6 years, actually. I think the first time that I got the blue and the green milk was the last time.
Yeah.
I got it.
It's insanely overpriced, and especially for what you get. Even the non-alcohol one is, I think it's up to like $8 now.
A lot of stuff in Galaxy's Edge, you're paying for the novelty of it.
Yeah. Which the novelty's worn off. Like there's never anybody in the line for the milk stand, by the way, ever. So,
yeah,
they need to do something. So maybe they can sell Jesse O's cereal there, and then they can sell the blue milk at Jesse O's and get people to go to both.
Wow. I think if I were to ever going to get one ever again, I would have to get the green, though, if I ever decide to. It was still the better of the two.
Wasn't the green one kind of tasted like Skittles a little bit? Is that the one I'm thinking of?
I don't even remember. That's the thing. I just remember it was better than the blue.
Wow. Okay. So this is why there's no line at the...
This is why?
I just looked at the current price. What do you think the current price is? And again, it's maybe, what, a 6-ounce cup? 8-ounce at the most?
I don't know. I don't remember. $12.
No, $9.29.
Okay. Oh, $9.29. Okay. And I mean, you may have sounded like, I mean, you were going, God, look how much it is. I was expecting something astronomical.
Because I think it was like $6 when it first came out, and now it's $9.29.
And it's $3 in 6 years. I mean, come on. That's typical.
And the one the one where they either put a shot of rum on the top or tequila, $17. And it's the same size.
See, the way they originally did it, you could either get it with alcohol or without, right? And didn't the blue have the rum and the green have the tequila, I think?
Correct.
Like, you didn't, like, do you have an option of switching them up if you wanted to? I guess you could if you asked them, but I mean, on the menu, it probably.
They might.
On the menu, it probably specific.
It is, yeah. But $17, they add that much more just for a shot of tequila, which is probably cheap tequila too.
Yeah, but I mean, what do they add exactly? I mean, like 4 ounces? What I mean?
No, it's probably a shot. I've seen them add it. I'm just kidding. It's probably two at the most. If you ask for a double, they'll probably charge you like $30 for it.
Anyway.
Yeah. Bacardi rum. Somebody
will buy it.
Different tequila. But yeah, it's insanely overpriced. Anyway, Rivers of America is pretty much drained and they're starting to do work on that.
Suck dry.
Food and Wine Festival is going on. Like, it officially has started as of this weekend.
Yep.
So
I haven't really heard a whole lot about it, though.
Yeah, same. And Beacon Barrel is officially open as well.
The Beacon Barrel, not the Beacon the Barrel.
Sorry. I added an extra the in there. I don't know why. You can get a 2025 Food and Wine Festival trash can salt and pepper shaker again.
How far we've come, by the way. Yeah. I think the Beacon Barrel is harder to get than, let's say, a reservation at Oga's, even when it first opened. This is how far we've come, folks.
Yeah. I haven't seen if they're doing this, but I was wondering if they were going to do like Oga's, where they put a 45-minute time limit on it and that kind of thing, a 2-drink maximum. I'm surprised they didn't do that, if they haven't.
Well, I haven't been in there. It's not the largest space in the world. I imagine Beacon Barrel's probably going to be, it's probably the same overall, right? I mean, none of them are that big. They're not really designed to be, yet they, I don't know, the popularity still.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't get it.
I mean, all that's big.
All right, now, boys, watch your manners.
But can't you just go, was it 61 days out and, you know, from your trip and just book it when it's 60 days out? I know Jason is going in October, and I guess he didn't try to book before or within.
You're pretty much going to have to get lucky.
But like, if I got on it, I'll set a timer.
How many people is he trying to get?
Probably just two, I would think. But
I mean, I guess even if you're going in with kids, I guess you have to include them, right? So,
yeah. Well, I'm curious. I'll have to check it. I don't know if their dining reservations open at 7 or at 6, but I'll check in the morning and see if you can get one.
Just kind of got to do first thing.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're searching the all day thing, you can find time for a lot of places.
Yeah. I think Beacon the Barrel will be hard to get for a while, for at least a year, probably.
Yeah, I was about to say, looking down the list, it'd be in the B's, wouldn't it? It wouldn't be.
Yeah.
I didn't even see it show up, so.
Yeah, it's not available at all for any of the next 60 days.
Oh, interesting. Here's a GO82.
Yeah. I feel like Beacon the Barrel will hold its popularity longer because it's Magic Kingdom, and you currently can get blitzed at Magic Kingdom, so.
You currently can?
Cannot until now.
Apparently, I'm gonna say apparently you can.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why it'll stay popular, because Epcot, you can go every 10 feet there's liquor you can get at Epcot.
Yeah, but it's also kind of a problem Epcot's had and at times over the year. So.
Late in the day, you're gonna see all kinds of stuff at Epcot. So it's always,
I guess, it's been what Disney considers manageable, but yeah.
Yeah, well, as much money as they make on alcohol, it's a risk they're willing to take, I'm sure.
Yeah, I find it hard to. I mean, that's got to be a high profit item. Anywhere you go over there, it's got to be a extremely high profit item.
I haven't seen a lot of people posting about Beacon Barrel though. Like, so now that it's officially open. All right, we're almost done. Let's see. I was going to mention the Boneyard is officially closed. So that also happened over this last weekend. So no more Boneyard. Are you sad?
You know, I don't know that I ever, I only can recall like one time maybe being over there to be in, I guess, to get that. So,
right. My kids liked it a lot, but the last few years they didn't even want to go over there. They didn't care after a while, but they liked it when they were younger.
Yeah.
Now it's not even on the map anymore. So that whole area of the park is grayed out almost. But yeah.
Dig in Dino Land.
I have to say, I don't think Dino Land was ever really my favorite land. I never really liked it that much at all.
You know, when Animal Kingdom first opened, I was on the brink of 20 years old. So the thrill ride part that Countdown to Extinction brought to it obviously appealed to me at that point in time the most.
Because there was no Everest yet.
Right. It was literally the only thrill attraction, I think, in the entire park.
Yeah. Yeah. Was Kali open yet?
Kali was there. Yeah. Kali was open. Asia was actually added after it was open. So I guess Kali didn't open with the park, but it was not long after. It was within the year after, I think. I could be wrong. It might have been open, and then the rest of Asia didn't open until afterwards.
March of 99. So within the first year, before the first year.
I knew it was something like that. It was one of those things. It was kind of like Epcot. They had these plans for these places, but they weren't quite finished with them, but they opened the park anyway. Right.
That's kind of lately. Getting a return on that investment earlier by opening a finished park.
Well, it was a common theme, obviously, with Eisner, which was, there hasn't been a Disney park in Florida opened since Eisner.
Ew.
But it was common in theme in there in that time period, right? So Epcot got open before, what attractions were still not open? Horizons and Journey, I think, right? Mm-hmm. That's the ones, I think those were the two.
Yep.
Weren't ready yet. Of course, Studios was like, they were just doing everything they could to beat Universal to the punch. Didn't even matter how few of things. It didn't matter that they only had four things to do.
Right. Yeah.
Like, it didn't really become a fully functional park for like almost a year or more.
It's still not designed very well. Like, it wasn't the way it is now. Yeah.
Yeah, it was actually designed to be similar, I think. All they were cared about was the centerpiece at that point in time was going to be the Great Movie Ride. Everything was going to revolve around that.
Exactly, yeah. The centerpiece. Mm-hmm. But one last thing I wanted to talk about now that it just sort of made me think of it with the Carousel of Progress thing. I forgot to mention this here was you can tell with the Animation Courtyard, the Monsters, Inc., the Rivers of America, all those things closing and changing something new, and now Carousel of Progress. Disney's definitely targeting all the things that have lower attendance and haven't been for a very long time. Mm-hmm. So Carousel of Progress, it shouldn't have been a shock, but they clearly don't want to close it because it was Walt's, Walt physically touched that set, as you can see from that, the blue sweater thing. So
as he will again.
But I think that's why they're putting Walt in there. I said that earlier, but Walt is coming in there to soften the blow of we're changing all the scenes. I think that's what they're going to do, but we'll see.
I guess, like I mentioned, I think when we first talked about this, it kind of gives Carousel a shot in the arm as well. I think the attendance will increase just by the fact that he's in there.
So the closing question is, what's next? What's the next underutilized area that they're going to do something with?
Underutilized area?
Journey into Imagination, I wish.
Of any park?
Yeah. I wish it would be Imagination, but Figment, they need to fix it.
Well, let's see. With Epcot West, I don't mean West Coast. I mean the West's section. What do they call it now? It used to be Future World East and Future World West, right?
Yeah, let's see. Let me double check.
Future World West. And yes, the right side of the park was west because of the way the park's facing. So west has been untouched for the most part for quite some time, unless you count the new film for Soarin', in which that was just a film.
It's called World Nature now.
Yeah, World Nature. The only thing that's been added over there, you could technically say it's on that side, is Journey of Water, right? Because you enter it from that side. But I mean, it's kind of closer to the center. So I guess it's technically in, what is it called again? Nature.
World Nature.
World Nature.
Yeah, it's on that side.
So what's the other side called again?
World Discovery.
Yeah, it's always going to be Future World East and West to me, so.
Yeah. But it's World Discovery, World.
World Discovery.
World Nature. Honestly, now that you're looking at, again, Epcot to me has the most areas that are underutilized because they have the, what used to be Wonders of Life is still completely abandoned.
Right. Doesn't look like any original plans are going to go through anytime soon.
Yeah.
Probably going to change.
Whatever you're going to do. Yeah. They should do something with it, but.
That's, speaking of films that they've missed the boat on, they've really missed the opportunity to do something with Inside Out 2 when it was still
the
hot.
Most popular, one of the biggest movies.
Yeah. And what have they done?
Nothing.
Here we are. It's about to be 10 years removed. By the time it's actually functioning, it will be the Coco attraction will be 10 years removed from the film.
Yeah.
Will it not? When did it sell? Oh, it'll be close to it. It was 17, right? It was October of 17.
Yeah.
Yeah. Almost 10 years removed from the film.
Yeah. Sad. Shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, I think that'll wrap this one up, though, since it's we've gotten the time in. So, where can we be found out there in the interwebs?
Well, we are on Facebook, X, and Instagram. That's all at TWTM Podcast. We have a Spreadshirt store as well, where you can get your exclusive Traveling with the Mouse merchandise, as we also have a TeePublic store where we have merchandise on both of those sites, and we have a YouTube channel where you can find these episodes. And where's all this can be found, Adam?
On our website, which is travelingwiththemouse.com. You can email us podcast at travelingwiththemouse.com. Working on a few new designs that should be on the TeePublic store soon, so look out for that. So, for John, my name is Adam. This has been Traveling with the Mouse, and we hope you will join us on our next trip. To Disneyland. Are you frozen?
No, it's just making you think I was.